Welcome to Gator Raiders, the greatest Florida Gators podcast there is. We're hot, we're new, we're fresh, and we're going hard. I'm Joe Morgan. I have here with me Griffin Tillis and Will Smith. So how'd you like that intro, guys? Was that better?
It's new.
You know, it's only our third time doing this, you know? It's just kind of like a test run every single time, you know? Just going to try stuff until it works, you know? And
Joe, I said different, not stupid.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If our fans appreciate or don't appreciate a certain aspect of the show, they can comment on our iTunes page The Gator Raiders podcast is available on iTunes for subscription. So,
or they can comment on Gatorade.com.
Yes, Gatorade.com. Feel free to join. So
that's R-A-I-D.
Yeah, Gatorade. not the sports drink. So yeah, we can't use that catchphrase because we may get in trouble with some legal issues there. But yeah, so guys, how's your weekend?
It was good. I was pretty busy. Disappointing, though. It was nice seeing Alabama lose.
Yeah, that was just about the same weekend for me. It was disappointing. Just as busy. I did catch a little bit of the Alabama game, and I was pretty happy with how South Carolina played. I've never been much of a fan of Steve Spurrier after he left Florida, but it was good to see, you know, at least someone beat Bama. But that was about the high point of the weekend.
How about Marcus Lattimore, though?
Oh, yeah. Well, my weekend was not a great sports one. I actually went to Valdosta, Georgia to watch the Winter's World Classic between the Valdosta Wildcats and the Lowndes Vikings.
How'd they end up doing, by the way?
Well, my Valdosta Wildcats, they lost for the seventh year in a row.
Oh.
Yeah, my cousin Daniel's going to kill me for bringing this up because he's probably listening. He's our number one fan, by the way,
folks. That's good.
But you should challenge him for that. You should challenge him for that position there.
Yeah, every listener should try to beat Joe's cousin.
Yeah, the position's up for the taking. And then, I came back, watched us lose to LSU, and then, of course, my Atlanta Braves. You know, I use the word "my" a lot. Kind of gives me some possession of it, makes me feel important.
Yeah, man, they're your Braves.
Yeah, well, my Atlanta Braves lost the division series.
Well, my Florida Marlins didn't even make it, so stop complaining.
All right, well,
my Tampa Bay Rays are doing fantastic.
So. Yeah, game five tomorrow. But, yeah, so let's go ahead and get started. The Florida Gators lost to the LSU Tigers 33-29 in the Swamp Saturday night. First of all, I just want to comment. You know, that was the most electric I've seen the crowd all year.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
That was one of the most electric crowds I have ever been with.
You know, it was just so loud, and there's just so much more passion involved than in the Kentucky and Miami and South Florida games. You know, when a quality opponent comes in, it's one of the best times to be in the Swamp because just everybody, all the fans are on their A game.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows it's a quality opponent. That's the thing. That's what's great.
Yeah. So, what were your thoughts on the game, guys? Griffin, I'm going to start with you.
You know, it was just disappointing all around because to see us coming off that win from Kentucky where we were just killing it. We were hitting everything, you know. To come right off that and then go into the LSU where the best way to describe it was just uninspired. There was just uninspired play calling, uninspired, you know, team for the first three quarters. Just it didn't seem like we were just going for it really, you know. I tell you what though, the person that I really gotta say was really doing well in the game. I mean, special teams did great. Florida special teams have always been good. But despite everything, the one person that I say really stepped up and really has been doing well was Trey Burton. He's doing great. You know, when they gave him the ball, he did something with it. And I got to say, Brantley's been struggling, you know, because, you know, people's going to say whatever they're going to say about Adazio. But I think, you know, he's not running Brantley's offense. As long as he's not running Brantley's style of offense, Brantley's not going to do well on that field. So Brantley wasn't doing too good, so they put in Burton. Even when Burton wasn't in the Wildcat, when he was taking passes and handing off and doing running plays, he did great. He got us down the field, and I think he got us a touchdown on the drive when he was playing quarterback, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he may have.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he really stepped up to the call when it took him. When they took Brantley out, I guess they were giving him a break, or maybe they were a little tired of how he was doing or what he was doing. But Burton did good, man. I was surprised about that.
Yeah, speaking of good performances, I really want to give a shout-out to redshirt freshman Andre DeBose. Prior to the LSU game, if you read my LSU preview, which was on Gatorade.com, one of the things I suggest that Urban Meyer should do in terms of adjustments was get Andre DeBose more involved. Now, he missed the entire last season with a hamstring injury, and wide receivers coach Zach Azani and Urban Meyer both said that he struggled to pick up on the offense and understand the concepts and the routes and everything. But, you know, with his 88-yard kickoff return, he for a touchdown, that really electrified the team and got him back in the game. And
oh, yeah.
He really showed some of that flashy speed that had so many people comparing him to Percy Harvin. So I'm really looking forward to Urban identifying him as a playmaker for this team and starting to get him more involved in the offense.
Yeah, well, for me, the LSU game, thing that jumps out at me is, you know, the play calling. Time after time, you see a dive play with, you know, Emmanuel Moody, Mike Gillisley, and prior to the LSU game, Jeffrey Demps, none of which are the type of running back that's really what may be called as a bruiser, colloquially. But, you know, they're all really fast guys. Demps has, like, the world record in 100-meter dash. But
something like that.
Yeah, know, he's a pretty fast kid.
They don't use him properly. You know, I think I had a conversation with someone where they just pointed out, you know, why don't they just put him on the wideout, like, every few plays and just have him run a fly play? You know, as long as Brantley can bomb it in front of him, he's going to catch it every time. He's the fastest guy on the field. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of bad play calling there.
Yeah.
You know, in addition, the other thing that jumps out at me is the referee called the plays.
Oh, man.
I want to read a little something that's straight from the NCAA rule book.
By all means.
A forward pass is determined by the point where the ball first strikes the ground, a player, an official, or anything beyond the spot of the pass. All other passes are backward passes. Okay, so that part's fine. You know, I'm going to admit that it was pretty questionable whether or not it was a forward or backwards pass. But here's where the real clause hits in. When in question, it is a forward pass rather than a backward pass when thrown in or behind the neutral zone. Wow. You know, obviously, if it's straight down and you're not sure whether or not it went forward or backwards, which obviously they didn't since they had to review the play, it should have been ruled a forward pass and the game should have ended right there.
Yeah, well, it was a tough way to lose, but yeah, I guess the best thing for the team is just to move on, you know. The dwell on these things is just pretty bad. You know, one more note, it was only the second time under Urban Meyer that the Gators have ever lost back-to-back games. Last time was 2007, where they...
Yeah, it was 07, wasn't it?
Yeah, they lost to Auburn at home, and then they went on to LSU and lost to the Tigers as well. But yeah, guys, we're going to go and move on to our next topic. Will was talking about the dive plays, and so I'm going to go ahead and introduce this upcoming topic, and it is... Sorry, folks. Yeah, Steve Addazio is the offensive coordinator. Should he be fired, and will he be fired? I wrote an article on Gatorade.com. Don't you love my product placement, guys? I'm really getting the hang of that. But anyway, on Gatorade.com, I wrote an article about why I believe Steve Addazio will stay on as the offensive coordinator. You know, I'm not the biggest supporter of him as the offensive coordinator. In the perfect scenario, I think he would probably be demoted back to the offensive line coach because I think he really thrived there. I'm not sure his play calling is that creative, but we'll get into that more in a few seconds here. But I don't see him being removed because he's one of Urban Meyer's top guys. You know, when Urban Meyer resigned briefly in the winter, Steve Addazio was named interim head coach. The players have a lot of respect for him. He's well-liked in the locker room. You know, it pains a lot of us to see him struggle with the play calling, but I just really don't see Urban Meyer making a change in that department. So I'm going to go ahead and go to Will. Will, what's your take on this?
You know, what I think what should happen or what will happen are a little bit different. I think, you know, Joe's a little bit right on this one. I think he should be demoted. He did a very good job as an offensive line coach, but, you know, he's just not an offensive coordinator. He makes very predictable calls, and, you know, teams like Alabama and LSU study the tape, and they know exactly what you're doing if you're going to be predictable. I would like to reference back to our previous podcast when we talked about how Alabama specifically knew that the jump pass was coming when, you know, the defensive coordinator starts jumping up and down, yelling jump pass to his team. You know, but what I think will happen is, you know, Steve Adazio is a very close friend to Urban Meyer. It's going to be way too awkward for Urban Meyer to have to go to him and say, you know, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. So I think at least for the next year, at the very least, unless, like, you know, the athletic director gets some sense in himself, he's going to stay as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, something will have to go horribly wrong, I think. Now, you know, going back to his play calling, you know, I can understand running the dive or the sweep or bubble screens or the option with Brantley, you know, to just kind of mix it up so you can set up other plays.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, a lot of people have come to Adazio's defense saying that those things help set up. But, I just really think that, you know, there's a point where you set it up, you use those plays to set up other plays, and there's a point where you just resort to them when you don't know what else to do. And I think Adazio does that a lot. And, you know, one more thing. You know, when you're running the dive, you know, use the big, able body guys like Emmanuel Moody and even Trey Burton. Trey Burton has a greater stature, greater physique. You know, he could take hits more than a Jeff Demps or a Mike Gillisley. And so, you know, I mean, just if you're going to run those plays, be smart with it. Use the resources you have to succeed with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, I mean, I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit, actually. I think I've just always thought this. Gator fans, as soon as something goes wrong, as soon as we don't do as well as we should, Gator fans are literally the first ones to say, boom, fire someone. You know, I love Florida Gators. Loved them all my life. I'm a Gator through and through. But I can stand back and I can kind of look at the fans and I can just be like, wait, what? Steve Adazio has been our offensive coordinator. He's been doing well. The problem is, and I know I keep touching on this, but I'm going to keep saying it, he's trying to run the Tebow offense. Yeah, he shouldn't be trying to run the Tebow offense with John Brantley, but if he gets it through his head that he needs to run the Brantley offense, that he needs to run the offense that Brantley can do, I guarantee you if he's going to change those plays, he'll be just the same good offensive coordinator that everybody's know and that everybody's used to. So I just don't think he needs to be fired because it's just, we're going through a rebuilding year. Look at, we got a redshirt freshman taking touchdowns. You know, we've got freshmen all over the field. We lost Spikes, Tebow, Hernandez. Joe Hayden, Hernandez. We lost all these big name stars. So the problem isn't the offensive coordinator. He might not be doing as best as he possibly could. You know, he might have, everybody's got room to improve. But I don't think the man deserves to be fired by any means.
Yeah, when Urban Meyer has always prided himself and his staff as well on tweaking the offense to fit their players' strengths. And, you know, shockingly, they haven't really done a lot of that this year. I'm not sure why or if the strategies aren't working. But, you know, I'd really expect that Urban would have figured it out by now. But that remains to be seen, you know.
You know what I've noticed?
What?
The team hasn't made any risky plays at all. You know how, like, you'll see other teams, they'll throw the ball really deep, you know, just randomly. Just, you know, try and catch the defense off guard. But every play that the Florida Gators have done has been a very conservative play.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been short yardage. I've been seeing that.
Yeah, they've run a few reverses. And, you know, they've had some success with those reverses. But, you know, they just never go back to them. You know, I mean, just you got it. Like, part of the offense is to get the ball to those speedy receivers and on sweep plays and get them in spaces. And, you know, they've had success with that this year. And they just, you know, once they go to it once, they don't go back to it. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the 4th-and-1 topic, previously known as 4th down. And the 4th down topic is South Carolina is the best team in the SEC. And this is coming off of their absolute throttling of Alabama, 35-21. You know, just, guys, who expected that?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I didn't.
Me neither.
When I saw South Carolina playing Alabama, the first thing that ran through my head is, all right, we have a pretty good chance of beating Alabama, so Alabama's going to blow them out of the water. Yeah. Beating South Carolina. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, we got beat by Alabama. Alabama should take care of South Carolina easy because we're going to probably take care of South Carolina, no problem.
Yeah, I was blown away. I did not expect that at all, especially with, you know, I mean,
Stephen Garcia.
Yeah, Stephen Garcia, a quarterback. I mean, what? But, you know, I mean, I guess the home crowd has a lot to do with, you know, college football is just so unpredictable. I don't want to sound cliche there, but it is. So,
yeah, the old ball coach, I guess, didn't have that many reasons to throw the visor that day.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Griffin. Are you going to go for it, or are you going to punt it?
You know, as good as they did in that game, and you know, they showed a lot of maturity on their team, I'm going to have to punt it. I just still don't see them as being the best team in the SEC. I think they're doing great, I just don't see them as being the best team in the SEC right now. The team that I got to say, though, is I really think it's looking to be LSU.
Yeah.
LSU, you know, they played Tennessee. They played North Carolina, which is a pretty decent team. They played Vandy, who still, you know, at the end of the day is an SEC team. All these SEC teams, you know, that add up, and the teams even that aren't division, that are still pretty difficult teams. Look like you got something to say, Joe.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, as I was saying before the show, you know, I mean, LSU kind of reminds me of those 2006 Gators. You know, they just, they find ways to win. You know, they...
Yeah, yeah, this is just like, I remember we were talking about this earlier. The 2006 Gators, we didn't blow anybody out like we did a few years back with Tebow. You know, we didn't blow anybody out. We, you know, we snuck by, but then we won the right games and we put on what we needed to put on when we needed to put it on.
Yeah, LSU.
So people might talk about LSU. Oh, you know, they got an easy schedule so far. Have they had a few easy games? Yeah, but so has everybody, you know? And they're still undefeated. And the thing is, I think that now they're, you know, now they're really getting in full stride. Now they're stepping up and playing more of their difficult opponents. I think they're going to have some smooth sailing ahead. And I think they're going to be going full stride. And I think they're going to be the strongest team in the SEC right now.
Yeah, they're very battle tested. They've had a couple of close calls this year and very good defense. So. That's a good pick, Griffin. Mm-hmm. All right, Will.
This is weird for me to say, but I'm going to go for it.
The old ball coach.
Will's Gamecocks.
I don't even know
Scarolina. How
this ever happened, but I'm going to say that they're the best in the SEC. You know, they may have lost to Auburn, but I saw a very different team that played Alabama than the South Carolina team that played Auburn. South Carolina against Alabama was very in groove. Every time Alabama would score after a South Carolina drive, South Carolina would come right back and set the difference in points right back at where it was. You know, Steven Garcia, he has been under a lot of criticism the past, like, 3 years he's been here. And, you know, I'm not even entirely sure I still trust him yet because, you know, there have been times he's reverted back to, like, throwing something that's just looked really bad. But, you know, him and Marcus Lattimore have been working very well together. They've been scoring. They've been running up the drives. And, you know, I feel even if the way they played against Alabama, they could have easily beat Auburn. You know, the other two things I think is that Auburn and LSU – the other two teams in the SEC that could possibly be, in my opinion, be the top teams in the SEC, even though they could arguably be better than South Carolina, they both have problems scoring more point, like a lot more points than their opponents. They just barely get by. And, you know, LSU, in my opinion, should have lost three of their games. North Carolina, if the receiver just held onto the ball twice in the end zone against Tennessee, where they really caught a break when there was 13 men in the field when, you know, they didn't even really do anything. And, you know, against Florida, you know, as I said before, with the fake field goal pass.
Yeah, it's 4th-and-1. I'm going to punt it. I don't believe South Carolina's best team in the SEC because, frankly, they give me no reason to. Even after their takedown of Alabama, South Carolina – under Spurrier, they've been great to start the season, and they just crumble every time. They fall apart. And until they prove otherwise, I'm going to keep doubting them. And, you know, they could very well prove me wrong this year. They have the talent, but, you know, they just fall apart a lot of the time. And I think the best team in the SEC is the number 8 ranked Auburn Tigers, undefeated, 6-0. And they're led by Cameron Newton, a former Gator who looks pretty good right now, considering our offensive woes.
You know, I gotta say, Auburn's really snuck under the radar recently. You know, they're undefeated, and I didn't even know that going into this show right now.
Wow,
they haven't even been on the news, nothing on the sports, nothing. They've been kind of been skating by. Nobody's really said much about them.
Yeah, Cameron Newton's been quite a dual threat at quarterback. He's been running, throwing, you know, just doing all kinds of stuff. Been very Tebow-ish. I'm not gonna come out and say he's equaling Tebow, because that'd be blasphemy in Gator country.
Be blasphemy.
He's been very Tebow-ish, and he's got Auburn looking pretty good. And by the way, you know, when Auburn hired Gene Chizik as their head coach, I was openly critical of that move. I really thought Tommy Tuberville was a great coach, and he is. He's at Texas Tech now. But, you know, Gene Chizik's really proven me wrong, and he's gotten Auburn in a good place right now. And I really think that they have the chops to win the West. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think they're going to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl this year. I think they're going to take them down. Yeah, but we'll see what happens there. So I got Auburn. You have South Carolina.
Dibs.
And LSU. All right. We're going to come up with some sort of wager here.
Yeah, I'm holding you to that. I'm holding you to these picks,
let's
boys.
Let's see. If one of us wins, the other one has to walk around in the shirt of the team that they picked.
Oh, God.
So Joe would have to walk around in Auburn. I would have to walk around in South Carolina. And
so if I win, you two will both wear the shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Does that sound good?
Yes, that's great.
We go hard on Gatorators. We hold nothing back.
LSU. God.
Man.
I think you got it worse.
Yeah, you probably got it worse.
Screw you guys.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to be on the final topic, previewing Mississippi State. It's homecoming week in Gainesville, and we're welcoming Dan Mullen and the Mississippi State Bulldogs to the Swamp. And, you know, the Bulldogs come into this one with a 4-2 record, just like the Gators. And may I say that these two teams, very different 4-2 records. You have Mississippi State, 4-2, on top of the world, playing a great year. They've beaten Georgia. You know, they nearly beat Auburn, the best team in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, just throwing that in there. Just a little add-in. Auburn, best team. Yeah.
And then the Gators, on the other hand, 4-2, struggling with the offense, lost back-to-back games to Alabama and LSU. So, guys, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what are your thoughts on the Mississippi State game this weekend? Who's going to pull it out?
You know, I'm thinking it's going to be the Gators because, you know, there's nothing worse than playing a pissed off team, basically. You know, we're coming off of 2-loss streak. It hasn't happened to us since 2007. We don't like that. It's simple. The Gator Nation doesn't like losers. The Gator Nation doesn't like a coach and doesn't like an offensive coordinator who keeps calling bad calls. They want him to get fired. The Gator Nation doesn't like a loser. So the Gators, the fans, the band, the cheerleader, we're all looking for a win. Everybody. Everybody's looking for a win. So I think that's going to pump up everybody. You know, I think the football players are going to bring their A game. Everyone's going to bring it hard in practice. And then just come out on the field showing what they've made up for. And, I mean, I'm definitely giving, you know, Miss State credit. They're definitely looking pretty good. You know, they got a good season, beat Georgia. But, you know, I hate to sound like ignorant or blind to them, but I don't really care what they bring because I think it's about us. It's about how bad do we want it. And if we want it hard enough, we're going to win that game. It's that simple.
Yeah, we weren't angry enough after the Alabama loss. We had to lose another game.
Yeah, we had to lose another game. Jesus.
All right, Will?
I think there's a reason why Mississippi State is our homecoming game.
Gosh, Will.
No.
Hold nothing back. Go
Seriously,
hard.
Seriously, though, the last time Florida lost 3 straight games was in the 1999 season. Lost to Florida State, then Alabama, then to Michigan State in the Citrus Bowl.
Attaboy Joe, knowing that fun fact off the top of his head.
Steve Spurrier was our coach back then.
The pre-show stuff, you miss it all. You miss it all. It's so good. It's golden, and you all miss it.
It's fantastic.
It probably wouldn't be good enough to go on the air, though. You would hate it. But we'll continue. Sorry.
You know, they've got Dan Mullen. Excellent coach. Came from the Gators. But he's still building a program that really didn't exist before he got there. So I think that they just don't really have a chance against the Gators. I hope I'm not jinxing the team. But, you know, the Gators played excellently against Kentucky, and I'm pretty sure Kentucky is better than Mississippi State. So we'll see where that goes. But there is one threat that I must point out to the Gators that they must look out for, because there's always that one good player on the team. And this player's name is Vic Ballard. You know, he's a running back for Mississippi State. He's averaging 7.2 yards per carry.
Wow.
And, you know, he's excellent. LSU and Alabama were able to hold him for about 2.6 yards per carry, but you know, against all the other SEC teams they played and all non-conference opponents, I even saw during one game he had like something like 14 yards per carry. It was ridiculous. He's something that needs to be watched out for, especially with you know, the Florida Gators crumbling on themselves.
Gentlemen, it pains me to say this, but on this show we go hard, And I'm going with the upset special. I'm picking the Mississippi State over Florida.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, it's just this team is down. We don't know where we're going offensively. Our two first half touchdown drives were a combined 33 yards set up by a muffed punt and an interception. It's not looking good. There were boos raining down all over on the offense because we couldn't sustain a drive until the late fourth quarter. We could not sustain a drive. This team is not good enough offensively. You know, the homecoming atmosphere, you know, you tend to overlook the opponent. And, you know, Dan Mullen's got a really great group there. You know, he has, you know, Vic Ballard at running back, and he has a pretty decent quarterback in Chris Relf, you know. And Mississippi State's having a great year. I think they're going to come in and surprise us. I really think so. And, you know, it's going to be a time of strife and difficulty for Urban Meyer. It's going to be if I'm right, then it's going to be a really difficult time for this program. But hate to end the show on a downer, but that's the way it's going to go down. So,
Joe, I'm proud of you. That took some guts to say, man. I'm proud of you.
Well,
I don't agree, but I'm proud of you.
Well, I'm going to be right, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, just like how LSU isn't going to be the best team. Yeah, good luck, Mel Kiper.
All right.
Oh, it's like that, Will.
Mel Kiper. Like
it's like that all the time.
All right. Well, guys, that does it for this week's episode of Gator Raiders. We go hard. And I think we got ourselves a new motto there. We go hard.
We'll see. If it's here next week, fans, that means it's stuck.
It's everywhere.
You have the power. You can just leave a comment on iTunes or on Gatorade.com.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah. All right. So go make sure you visit Gatorade.com for the latest insight on the Florida Gators, written by yours truly. And as well as the podcast featuring the great Will Smith, the talented Griffin Tillis, and myself.
The legend, Joe Morgan. Go Gator.
The go harder. But anyway, that's it, guys. Go Gators.